Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For the fourth time, I'm sorry. Well, we've been looking at some of the, you know, things that Jesus Christ has brought to us, and I'd like to continue along that line today. Today, looking at Jesus Christ, our purpose. I want to read to you from Jesus the Healer by E.W. Kenyon. Just a bit in chapter 1. The chapter is entitled Two Kinds of Knowledge. He says, one of the recent discoveries in our spiritual laboratory has been that there are two kinds of knowledge. The knowledge that our schools, colleges, and universities teach has come to us through the five senses. It is safe to say that there is no knowledge of chemistry, biology, metallurgy, or mechanics, or any other field of research, but that which has come to us through the five senses, seeing, tasting, hearing, smelling, and feeling. Our bodies have really been the laboratory in which the research work has steadily gone on through the ages. That knowledge is limited. It cannot find the human spirit. It cannot discover how the mind functions in the physical brain. It cannot find God, nor discover the origin of matter, of life, of force, or of creation. All that it can discover are things it can see, hear, taste, smell, or feel. We call it sense knowledge. Then there is another kind of knowledge that has come to us through the revelation called the Bible. This is revelation knowledge. It brings us in contact with the Creator. It explains the why of creation, the reason for man, the nature of man, and the ultimate goal of man. At the end of that chapter, he writes, the chief quest of sense knowledge has been for reality. Man's spirit craves it. Reality cannot be found by the senses. It is only discovered by the spirit. Sense knowledge has sent forth men called philosophers, searchers after reality. It is a profound fact worthy of every man's consideration that the man who really knows Jesus Christ, who has received eternal life, never turns to philosophy. If he has been a philosopher, he gives it up because he has arrived at reality in Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the reality, and the life. Jesus then is the answer to all true philosophy. You know, man has been interested in his purpose forever, ever since man's been around, I imagine. The meaning of life, you know, why am I here? What am I supposed to do? You know, what's important in life, and all the other things that are associated with having a purpose and a meaning to your life. You know, sometimes some people find that meaning in self-gratification. In self, you know, you know, even in the Bible it talks about Epicureans, you know, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. And that's their purpose in life, and they openly admit it. Well, when you have a purpose in life, a real purpose in life, it transcends the tribulations and pressures of life. Purpose doesn't change. You could be in jail for 30, 40 years of your life and still understand that you have a purpose in life. The very fact that you're in jail and maybe can't fulfill it to the extent you'd like to doesn't change the fact that you have purpose, that your life has meaning. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 13, it says, for whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. You see how in that single verse, and there are many like it, man's purpose changes from living for himself to living for Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is or becomes our purpose. when we receive eternal life, when we get born again, he now is our purpose. There is a radical shift in man, in our lives. In Psalm 16, and that's very, very clear from that verse. God says not to live any longer for ourselves, but unto him which died. Now, it's interesting, there's a couple of Old Testament examples we can look at as well. In Psalm 16, verse 7, I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. And this is quoted in Acts. Let's jump to Acts chapter 2, where this is quoted and very clearly tells us what it was referring to. Acts chapter 2, verse 25. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope. You know, purpose is to a large extent based on hope. You have a meaning or a purpose to your life because there is hope that is very real and very sure. And we'll look at that in some later time in more detail. But even here, when David talked about Jesus Christ, this is before he had come and done what he had done, it still gave David purpose in life, meaning in life. You know, it said that because that was going to happen, he said that he would not be moved. Notice how the purpose transcends tribulation and pressure. It's your reason for being. It was his reason for doing what he did. And as a result, he goes, I'm not going to be moved. I know what's coming. And when God writes in Corinthians, now it came, he goes, now look, your purpose is not to live for yourself, but for him which died for you and rose again. More meaning, more purpose. You see how Jesus Christ is our purpose in life. It doesn't change. Certainly how we react to it in our lives can change and, you know, go up and down however we choose fit. But biblically, truthfully speaking, there is no reason for us to be looking for the meaning of life anymore, the purpose of life. You know what your purpose is. It doesn't change. Your purpose is Jesus Christ, him who died for you and rose again. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Here, as we know, is the wonderful record of many, many believers. But just to look at one here in 11:24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, which would have given him one of the highest positions on the face of the earth. He refused this, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. If anybody had wanted to enjoy the Epicurean lifestyle, eat, drink, and be merry, Moses, he had it all. He could have had everything. And here it says that he refused this. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. You see how he was able to make decisions in his life because there was a purpose of his life that was bigger than him. It was greater than him. Verse 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. You see, he actually never saw that promise, did he? Moses didn't live to see that promise, yet it allowed him to live his life with purpose, with meaning. And look at all the things, if you read, you know, he's one of the most written about men in the Bible. Look what it allowed him to do and how it allowed him to live, knowing what his purpose was. It never waned in his life. Did he make mistakes? Sure. but his purpose. He knew what he was here for. We know what we're here for. Verse 32, and what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. Chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, and you know, you're sure free to read the rest of that section about all these wonderful witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus Christ didn't love the shame. He despised it, but he took it on himself. Verse 3, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. You see, the reason God tells us to consider him is so you don't get tired. You have a purpose. Your life has great meaning. Jesus Christ is our purpose. And God says here, listen, whenever you get a little bit tired and you know, aren't sure anymore, or maybe you have a bit of doubt, just consider him, okay? Just go back to what he did, what he accomplished, so that you don't faint, so you don't get weary. You see how he is our ultimate purpose. Even when I get tired, God says, I want you to consider him, because that's going to help you to not be so tired and faint anymore, and you can keep going, because your purpose is all tied up in Jesus Christ. He is the end of philosophy. He's the end of the search for meaning. In John chapter 3. Man, it sure is wonderful to know that you have a purpose in life and your life has meaning. When there are so many who struggle and don't know what their purpose is, don't know why they're here, don't know why they're doing what they're doing or not doing. In John chapter 3, verse 26, John the Baptist, verse 26, and they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness, that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. John knew that he was sent before the Lord Jesus Christ, before the Messiah. He knew he was come to prepare the way of the Lord. Verse 29, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom which standeth and heareth him rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled. He knew what his purpose was, his reason was, and then it says in verse 30, he must increase, but I must decrease. You see, his ultimate purpose was to be found in Jesus Christ. He said, listen, I'm going to step out of the way here. He's the one that must increase. You see how Jesus Christ is our purpose. He is our life. Our reason for being, our meaning in this life has been given to us by the work of Jesus Christ. In Romans 6, Romans chapter 6, verse 4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For we, if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. It says our old man is crucified with him. Verse 7, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. It says the old man was crucified with him. Do we want the thinking of the old man to dictate the way we live our lives, or to dictate what our purpose should be? Or do we want the thinking of the new man, which is created in righteousness and true holiness in Christ Jesus? Or do we want that thinking to dictate the purpose of our life? It's choices ours. I mean, I can sit here for the rest of my life and brood about, the old days and this thing and that thing, and think about, I can't even think much about those days, but I could choose to do that. But the Bible says, listen, you don't live for yourself anymore. That's not your purpose. You know, God, men like David and Moses and these men, they saw that coming in the future, and they were still able to live their lives, make, life-changing, life-altering decisions based on that truth of the coming of the Messiah. And for us, he's come. And now God says, you're not meant to live for yourself. Does that mean you won't live for yourself? No, you can. You can certainly spend your whole life living for yourself and not giving a darn about anything. But God's exhortation is, no, your purpose is Christ. Live for him. In 1 Corinthians 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Verse 21. Art thou called, being a servant? Care not for it, but if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's freeman. Likewise also he that is called, being free, is Christ's servant. You are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. You see, there was a change. When you accepted the Lord, there was a change in ownership. You don't belong to yourself. You certainly don't belong to the adversary. There was a change in ownership. Here it says you are bought. When you're bought, you have a different owner. There's a change in ownership. So you now have a purpose which we did not have before. And, and Galatians tells us we can't serve men and still be a servant of Jesus Christ. It's not possible. Along the same lines of not to serve ourselves, but him which died for us and rose again. You are bought with a price. And even here in Corinthians, if you read the rest of these sections, Paul says, I can do whatever I want, but it certainly isn't in my best interest or benefit to me if I do that. You are bought with a price. You don't belong to yourself or to the world or the devil or anything. You belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 1. We read this last week when we're looking at Jesus Christ, our peace. But Romans chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The working translation is called in Jesus Christ. We're called to be saints. We've been made saints, sanctified, holy ones. You've been called to be a saint. Your life has been given great meaning. Great meaning and of great importance to God. Now, how we choose to live that life and how we choose to serve is entirely up to us. But the exhortation of the Word of God is not for us to live for ourselves, but him which died for us. You've been called. Your ownership of your life has been changed. Your life has great meaning now. in Romans chapter 8. Verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that, and I don't miss the context here. I'm not going to take the chance time to read all of Romans chapter 8, but I want to just narrow in on one thing here. Verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according, the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. This was God's purpose. Jesus Christ and what Jesus Christ was going to accomplish was God's purpose. And guess what? His purpose has become our purpose. Christ first, the first fruits, and we next. We've been called into the fellowship of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. That was God's purpose in Christ. And now because of that, when we accept him as Lord, God's purpose in Christ, now he becomes our purpose. And that makes sense, doesn't it? If that was God's purpose and we're obedient to God and his word, now guess what? Christ is also our purpose. That's why we live. That's why we do the things we do. That's what we have. And we basically bet the whole farm on the Lord Jesus Christ. Him or nothing. In Ephesians chapter 3. More along this line. Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 7. Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God who created all things, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose which he, God, purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus Christ was God's purpose of the ages. It's only fitting that those who become the sons and daughters of God by confessing the Lord Jesus Christ now are part of that great purpose that God had in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our purpose. Verse 12, in whom we have boldness because of Christ. We have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. We find our ultimate purpose in he who was the purpose of the ages. That makes sense, doesn't it? Isn't it wonderful to belong to something like this? Isn't it wonderful to belong to the body of Christ, the family of God, to know that our lives have meaning, our lives have purpose? Now, the world certainly will not tell you that. You know that. Don't have to go down that road of telling you what the world thinks of you and your purpose. That doesn't matter. I don't care what the world thinks. I don't care what the world thinks. I care what the word thinks. I care what God thinks of me. I care what God's word says about you and me as members of the body of Christ, having our purpose in Christ Jesus. That's the only thinking that's important. Why would I want to entertain the other nonsense that's out there? In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. You know, I always like that wonderful statement that Jesus Christ made when they were looking for him, when he said, don't you know, mom and dad, that I must be about my father's business? You know, remember when they were looking for him, they're worried. He goes, we look worried for you, looking for you for a few days, and we're sorrowing. He said, don't you know that I must be about my father's business? Now, those who are tied to the purpose of Jesus Christ, you know, live different kinds of lives. It becomes a lifelong endeavor and pursuit to do the things related to Jesus Christ. And a lot of times, those kind of people are very annoying to the rest of the world. They're very annoying to those around them because they can't understand why this is all you want to do. This is what's important to you. This is what you want to talk about. Anytime there's a problem, you bring up the Lord Jesus Christ or the Bible. Anytime there's what the heck is wrong with you? Isn't there more to life? No, there isn't. Jesus Christ is the purpose of the ages. That means the ones in the past, the ones today, and the ones that are coming in the future. Jesus, it centers around Jesus Christ because that's what God decided to do. That is the reason for life. That is the reason for you to be alive. That's the purpose of your life. The heck with what anybody says or thinks. If you're awkward or odd or weird or don't fit or don't belong, I don't want to fit in this world. I don't want to belong to this world. I want to belong to Him. And we do. We're purchased with a price. We belong to Him. And now we walk with Him, serve Him, and find the purposes of not only our daily life, but our eternity in Jesus Christ. And to close in 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 7. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. You know, you go through a lot in your life, and someday you're going to see, and we know, we're going to see that it has all been worth it. All of it has been worth it. You know, the light afflictions here, what's going to happen in glory? God calls them all light afflictions. It will all have been worth it. Sometimes that isn't so clear to us now, but someday it's going to be very clear, and you're going to be very grateful for the life that you chose to live. Verse 9, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works. We didn't earn this. We didn't gain it. Not according to our works, but according to His own purpose. God's own purpose and grace, which was now given us in Christ Jesus. Before the ages. Jesus Christ, our purpose. Your life has great meaning, great value.